Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the future of almost everything. That's what the Thursday show is all about. It's analysis on local and national business issues, unique technology and community takes and trends on important news you can use. Presidential debate tonight at 8 p.m. right here on WTMJ. So Steve Glenn and I are going to provide some comments. What? From our marketing lens, if both campaigns came to us, Steve.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes, and said, all right, we want to hire you. We need some further positioning around our campaigns for debate prep. So I thought a lot about this, and I want to get your take on it, Steve.
Yeah.
The future of debate prep right here on
right
the upswing.
Here.
So from the Biden lens, these are my thoughts. I think you have to kind of steer clear of finish the job. I think it's when you have one term, you want a second term. A lot of people are like, all right, we need to finish the job. I don't know if that resonates with the voter because the job's never finished, right? In
never
the business
done.
World,
no.
You're constantly innovating and looking for things to do. So I want them to steer clear of finishing the job.
I think it would be interesting on a message around, and again, like you said, no, this is not about politics. It's
exactly.
Purely about marketing, positioning, branding. To think about a message that would bridge from today through the next term into the future of this party being then taking over from there. So how do you play more legacy into right. the next?
Yeah, I mean, building on a bridge to the future or
right,
something
right.
like that. Just, I don't like the messaging around finishing the job.
Yeah, because it sounds like it will be done when
that's
the next
right.
4 years
hire
are
us
over.
And we'll
yeah.
be done. We'll
yeah.
get it done. All right. So also to combat maybe the age issue that some voters
sure.
are looking at, highlight the team. There
yes.
is youth and there's experience. There's inexperience, sure, but highlight key team members on the campaign, the Secretary of Transportation, whatever it is, people that are doing the work
right.
and deflect the leadership that way.
I mean, every good startup, when they're pitching, it's not about the founder. It is to some extent, but it's also about the support around that founder, the area, the subject matter experts in the areas that are critical.
Right. And we talk about regularly, great leaders create more leaders.
Right.
And I think you got to highlight that even more so in a campaign because it's not just about one individual.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most brilliant kind of aspect to look at that just yeah. gets doesn't get enough attention.
It's often hard for politicians
right.
to do though, right?
Right.
No matter
right.
what
me,
side
me,
you're
yeah.
on, you're like, hey, this is about me.
Yeah.
I'm the candidate.
I will
vote
win.
For
yeah.
me.
Right.
All right. Another suggestion I have. And I don't know, this isn't controversial, but I think you got to really find the faith. President
sure.
Biden is a man of deep faith and really cares about it, but I don't think he talks about it a ton. And no matter what your faith is, where your commitment level is, what your cornerstone belief is, I think that's something voters resonate with. So don't be scared to go there.
So I was at a tech conference for the past couple of days. And two of the speakers in that conference that I talked to emphasized faith as part of their pre-talk ritual and leaning on their faith, being a person of faith. Like, this is a critical, important issue to a number of Americans.
Yeah, it's Men's Mental Health
right.
Month right now.
Yeah.
So I think you can lean into what people are thinking about, no matter what you believe, what your belief system is. I think
sure.
it could be a winning point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When we come back from the break, we're going to give three tips for the Trump campaign.
Let's do it.
And then we're going to dive into a bunch of other fun future of almost everything issues. We're going to talk about restaurants and retail in the Third Ward, energy drinks. And later in the show, Tony Smith, our good teammate here at ESPN, is going to join us to talk about the future of golf, a new initiative that Tony has going. This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Letters to Cleo tonight at the E-Line at Summerfest. Weekend number two begins today. We'll talk about Summerfest tech that's wrapping up today with Steve Glenn in a minute. But we want to finish our debate prep and move on to the Trump campaign from the lens of, all right, this campaign hires us as marketing public relations consultants and wants some positioning around their campaign messages. What does Jeff Sherman and Steve Glenn offer to the Trump campaign?
This is for free, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So, first and foremost, and this may seem like, oh, of course, Jeff, but I think Trump's got to build on his celebrity. Americans love celebrities.
They do.
Obviously, Trump is one. He's got to own it, and this is what got him here, and I think you can't go too hard on, hey, I'm a celebrity. I'm the person that's in charge, and this is why I'm here. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's show. I mean, show him on the red carpets he's been on with people taking photos and all of that stuff that comes with celebrity status.
Yeah. We're a reality TV culture, and I think you got to embrace it.
Dig into that.
All right, number two, I think you can really dive in and lean in again to the team around him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's sometimes hard for leaders to deflect success onto others. But a strong business, jobs, and educational opportunities team, I think that can be a winning point for the Republican candidate.
Absolutely. Especially, I think, where this is where the other side tries to attack. And if you can bolster up the team that is around Mr. Trump, there you go.
There you go. And then finally, it's the economy, stupid, right? You got to price it out. And there's a lot of kind of everyday grocery bills, inflation, economic data points that you can leverage to say, hey, this is what happened the last 4 years.
Right.
This is what's going to happen in the future. And that's what you got to lean in on, that price economy thing.
Yeah. And, you know, part of this and what this gets me thinking about is this other aspect of Trump, which is he comes off as an early adopter, a fast mover. And how do you leverage that kind of like take out the red tape and just move? I get things done quickly.
Yeah. And focus on, hey, I'm a business leader. This is how I do it. We move fast.
Yes.
Maybe we break things, but that's okay.
And we got to innovate.
That's right. All right. Should be entertaining. For sure. And I want it to be entertaining, but I also want it to be based on policy and issues. So the debate tonight, 8 p.m. right here on WTMJ. Summerfest Tech wrapping up, final day today, Steve Glenn.
Today is of what is a four-day engagement around tech and music and AI and everything in between. Started Monday, wraps up today on the grounds.
And you had the Experience Milwaukee Lounge all week long there. And when you look at like the future of Summerfest Tech, you look back a couple of years ago and it was like, whoa, Summerfest is launching
a tech-based
event? Like what? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the energy and the optimism and the turnout and the speakers this year was just off the charts.
Yes. And here's why Summerfest doing something tech in business makes a lot of sense. Look up and down the grounds, the companies on the stage signs. These are companies who are leading in innovation and technology and in creativity and culture. Why wouldn't you leverage those partners to broaden the message?
Right. And he also gets to talk about building the ecosystem and how can the small businesses and the people at the festival work with these companies and kind of see it through that startup lens.
Yeah.
That's what we need more of in the economy in greater Milwaukee.
And no one knows how to throw a party better than Summerfest.
Yes,
and they do that during this conference.
And the pitch competition, which was yesterday, correct?
Correct.
I mean, that event's really grown. For sure. I saw Bobby Kraft from Atlas World Sports was a judge. I love Bobby. Yeah. He's doing some really cool things in the gaming space. Were you there and did you see some of the Some of the pitches?
I saw some of the pitches, and then they give you a little break after so the judges can kind of do their thing, and then everyone reconvenes in a room. And this is all, it's put together by the whole Summerfest tech team, but also Molson Coors is the key sponsor around this pitch competition. And it gave away $50,000 yesterday.
Nice. And there were companies from Chicago, South Africa, obviously a couple from Milwaukee, but you had Detroit and, the suburbs. You had Menominee Falls, a company that it does this drink mixer designed to support liver health and next day recovery for people with liver challenges. I mean, that's innovation, and that kind of goes into the Summerfest theme a little bit too, right?
Absolutely, and it's really cool to see companies, startups, founders from across the globe really paying attention to what's happening here in Milwaukee at Summerfest Tech.
Very good. Summerfest Tech concludes today with a networking session, but we'll look forward to what's coming up next year because the work never stops. Coming up next, retail and restaurants in the Third Ward. What are some good fits for a new residential tower in the Third Ward? This is The Upswing presented by Horicon Bank, the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin, we hope we're enjoying your plane flight. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn and I today. Steve, when was the last time you were in the Third Ward? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Right. So the Business Journal had a really interesting story about the 333 Water building that obviously is new to Milwaukee's Third Ward neighborhood. And the developer of this new luxury apartment tower is seeking tenants to fill three commercial spaces on the ground floor. And as the Business Journal reports, it's in late-stage negotiations to fill all three spaces. They're looking for high-end restaurant and retail. There's a food and beverage operator that has a 1,600-square-foot space right on the corner of Water Street in St. Paul. It spans 3,200 square feet, all kind of along Water Street and the river there. Really a marquee space for a restaurant operator. You think, in terms of kind of a restaurant lens, that a national chain could work in the Third Ward?
I don't know about that. What I do know is from talking to a number of business improvement district directors over the course of my career, they typically would rather have something unique.
Yeah.
Whether that's the Third Ward or any other neighborhood, they typically look for a unique kind of concept to come in there.
Destination restaurant, destination retail, something that the market doesn't have.
Right.
Or you look at what the Marcus Company has done is being able to develop new concepts that are anchored in something people know, but to deliver a different food experience, but still keep it under their umbrella.
Correct.
And so I think that could be a really good opportunity. Obviously, you have Lululemon right across the street. So I think high-end clothing could be a really interesting option for the Third Ward.
I just love, here's what I love about all of this. I mean, people go where it's cool, right?
Yeah.
And so more and more, this city is becoming walker friendly, where you can do all the things you need to do by walking from where you live.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome to see it continue to evolve that way.
Yeah. On Monday on the show, we had two of the principals from Rink on, and they were talking about placemaking and design and usability in the mall space. And obviously, malls are becoming lifestyle centers.
Mm-hmm.
But the Third Ward neighborhood, when you look at it, it's a big lifestyle center.
It sure is.
It is a combination of almost everything that you need to live your life. So it's got to be pedestrian friendly. It's got to be full of big design. But people want that surprise and delight from a retail and restaurant. And I don't know. I mean, we're missing maybe in greater downtown some of the national concepts. So I wonder if, could we see a mini Best Buy? Could we see a mini Target? Could we see one of those options kind of come into that area and say, all right, there's an opportunity here. that is going to be unique and can we work into the fabric of the neighborhood?
Yeah, I think from a retail perspective, definitely that can work in the Third Ward. It's the restaurant side, I think it maybe has a higher risk.
Yeah.
But I mean, like Shake Shack did it.
Yeah, Shake Shack did it. Sweetgreen's doing it really well. I mean, Sweetgreen, obviously a really interesting concept, kind of health and wellness, but that space seems to be doing really well. So another one of those, like, I don't know, better for you fast food type things, I think has an opportunity to do well there.
Yeah, I think there's enough there. From what I see on any given hour of the day, there are enough people walking around there with different interests that they're going to look for any kind of option to have some more fun.
I saw on X and Twitter last night, there were people lined up at 10:30 to play pickleball at the Third Ward court. So,
right.
Like, it is definitely an active space, and there's a lot of opportunities in retail and restaurants. But maybe the rent's a little too high. Forbes had a story last week. Forbes scoring system found that Milwaukee was the 80th best city for renters among the 95 most populated U.S. cities. Now, you could say 80th best, that's a creative way of positioning there. That we're kind of low
on that marketing side of us point. Again.
Yes, indeed. But the Forbes report found that Milwaukee's median rent price rose $100 between May of last year and May of this year, the seventh greatest rise in the period among the cities in the study. And, you know, it seems like rent's getting a little bit more expensive in the area.
Going up. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking at the amenities at the 333 Water, and they sure are taking care of you. They're taking care of your pets. They're taking care of everything. That comes at a little bit of a price sometimes.
At 548 square feet at $777, $1,900 a month.
Whoa.
So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Steve Glenn, the future of almost everything. Steve, is the future of coffee energy drinks. Fast Company last week said a fruity new beverage that comes with a jolt of energy is now available at Starbucks. Last week, the coffee chain introduced three new energy drinks, each containing enough caffeine to fuel your entire weekend. There's a lot of investment happening in the energy drink space, for sure. Sprecher just acquired Juvie earlier in the year, and then last week took a minority share in Ohio-based OH Hydration. Energy drinks, big caffeine, they seem to be everywhere. And I'm just a half-regular, half-decaf coffee every morning. Like, I'm kicking it old school.
I am just the regular coffee every morning, nothing in it. I get a little afraid of these drinks with the amount of caffeine they have.
Yeah. The 20-ounce, the venti size at Starbucks has between 180 and 205 milligrams of caffeine. And yeah, that's a lot. A standard, like an 8-ounce cup of coffee, is about 95 milligrams. And a lot of them marketed to kids.
Yes. And the kids are pounding these things like crazy. And it's you know, from their favorite brand, one of their favorite brands, and they trust, and they go there and they buy these drinks like mad.
Yeah, the chains, I mean, both local, regional, and national, they're all in on energy drinks because they're all the rage, and no matter if you're Gen Z or if you're 16-year-old, that's what you're drinking.
That's what you're
drinking. You got to go in on it. Dunkin' introduced its own line of energy drinks, Sparked Energy. The ice drinks come in two flavors, Berry Burst and Peach. I'm never a big fan of peach-flavored things. It never seems to be right.
It seems to work for me. I don't mind it.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on how coffee continues to evolve right here in Bruce City. Are you a golfer, Steve?
I have golfed before.
You have golfed before?
I have.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah. So, but it's not part of your day-to-day business life.
No. That's the one thing if there's any kind of semi-regret, it's like I would like to be a little bit better, because it is a way to kind of go connect with people in a like low stress, or maybe different stress,
yeah,
but low barrier to communication.
Yeah, you get 4 hours to build relationships,
yes,
and really talk.
Have some fun.
Talk life. So Wall Street Journal last week, this was the headline. A killer golf swing is a hot job skill now. Companies are eager to hire strong players who use hybrid work schedules to schmooze clients on the course. Standout golfers who aren't quite ready for PGA Tour now have somewhere else to play professionally. Corporate America. That's always been the case, but now it's really set front and center with hybrid work schedules.
I mean, everywhere I go, that's the one of the first questions. It isn't even, you were kind enough to say, do you golf? The question I hear is, where do you golf?
Yeah.
It's just assumed if you're in business or you're in sales or you're in those kinds of roles, you're out there on the course.
Yeah, and one of the things with golf, you have to have inspiration, and you got to have somebody kind of come to you and say, hey, let me be your mentor on the golf course. And you have to be provided with that opportunity to kind of connect into it, because it can sometimes be a little bit of an unrelatable sport. I look at myself. I caddied as a kid, but I had no idea what golf was about. But someone, my high school English teacher, was a caddy master at a country club and said, Jeff, you're 15. I can pay you $10 per round. You should come join the club as a caddy. I'm like, I'm all in. And I did it for 2 summers. And the people I met, the skills I learned was absolutely amazing.
This probably will come to no surprise to you. I had a similar experience working at a golf course when I was 15, but I was frying up food on the grill and I was serving beers.
All right. Life skills happening right there for sure. So I'm excited that Tony Smith will join us after the break, because he's working on the future of golf and how he can mentor the kids, not only from our area, but from the entire region with Beyond Bernie's. Tony Smith joins us next on The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Tell me what you hate about me. Whatever it is, I'm sorry. Yeah. Illinium tonight, the American Family Insurance Amphitheater, the second weekend of Summerfest on Milwaukee's beautiful lakefront. The future of golf for the next couple segments. Tony Smith, thanks for taking the time to join us on The Upswing. A perfect name to talk about golf.
Yeah, it is. Good to be with you guys. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good. Might be my first time on TMJ. I'm happy.
All right. How's the golf game?
Better not be the last. Man, listen, you play golf, you know how that question is. It's like, right now, it's in decent shape.
All right.
Never know what the next round is going to be, though.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. But you always have that one shot that keeps you coming back. Is that your mentality, or are you just because you got the time
and
you love to play?
There's a level where the person's like, okay, one shot is going to bring me back. I'm past that level. I'm at a 6 index right now. So
all right.
I'm playing pretty well, and it takes more than one shot to really get me.
Yeah.
I got to get a low round in there and be like, okay, I'm feeling good. And then just when you think, okay, I'm going to attack this next round, get slapped back into reality.
Yeah.
That's what golf does for you. Don't get to feeling too good about yourself.
That's good. Right? Well, you know, it's a good, lots of life lessons.
Yeah.
Where did the inspiration come from for Beyond Birdies, the new organization that you just launched?
Yeah. So we just released our website, beyondbirdies.org. And, you know, it's a nonprofit I decided to start to try to get some of that opportunity you were talking about, and access to golf for, you know, kids and communities that don't typically have access to that. As we were talking in the break, like, golf is not a sport where you can just walk out on the course and join people who are already there, right?
Yeah,
if you walk up on the tee box with 4 guys, they're going to be like, what the heck are you doing?
Excuse you out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like playing baseball or basketball. You bring a ball, you go to the court.
And
like,
you're ready.
Right. Yeah. So you gotta have somebody help you with that, right? And I mean, it all starts, obviously, I'm sure we all want to start with lessons. That's how I would start right now.
Sure.
Give me some lessons first before I even think about going on the course.
Right.
Because I don't know what I'm doing on the course. So that's why golf is a very weird sport. But also, as you guys were saying before break, I mean, it's so useful in life.
It is.
To have that skill. Even if I don't have to be a great golfer, just to have that skill to be out there, go over to play, not embarrass yourself, not look crazy, but You're spending time with clients, spend time with family, friends. You get 4 hours outside, especially nowadays. You get kids away from their computers, their phones,
right?
And you're playing some golf. You're interacting, you're conversating, right? And you're learning life lessons, patience. You got to have a ton of patience out on the golf course.
Talking through strategy together, right?
Right. Yeah. Being polite, policing yourself. Right, there's rules to golf that you got to police yourself in golf. So it's a lot of stuff going on, but you know, just moving around, playing golf, not seeing a lot of African American golfers like myself, especially kids out there. I see some adults, and you know, my age, we're inspired by Tiger Woods. But what I was seeing, and why I started Beyond Birdies, is because I didn't see any effect after that. It was like, okay, I see my generation, we watched Tiger Woods, so we started playing, but it hasn't trickled down. I don't see the youth being inspired anymore.
So you see a one-on-one approach would be effective? I mean, you're just going to go to the kids and say, hey, let me teach you the game, teach you about what it could teach you, and see the CEOs and leaders playing the game and how frustrated maybe they get or how passionate they're about it. And you're going to learn through osmosis.
Yeah, you know what? This is how I plan to attack and how I positioned Beyond Birdies to operate, Jeff. It's more of a family thing, like we were talking about. It's a good opportunity for a mom to take her son out, right? Like, I know a lot of single moms who have sons, and it's very hard to relate, especially when they get up in age. Like teenage boys, they don't want to hang out with their mom. It's like,
or anybody.
I got nothing. Like Like, mom, we got nothing in common. There's not a lot to talk about, but. Now you introduce golf, right? And they're both even if their parent doesn't play golf, but they want to learn, right? I'm gonna say, hey, you know what? You and your son, come take a lesson. We're gonna set up a lesson for you. You don't need anything. First of all, you're just starting. You're beginner learning. The instructor that we have a relationship with is gonna have everything you need. You don't need to bring anything, right? They're gonna have clubs for you to hit. They're gonna have balls. They're gonna be teaching you basic stuff. You're not gonna need a whole bunch of stuff to go out. Let's just see if you like it. Let's go hit some balls.
Let's go putt a little bit. Let's about go your future vision of Beyond Birdies when we come back from the break. We're talking golf with Tony Smith, the future of almost everything on The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Since we're talking golf and small business today, let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family, we live in the North Shore, but when we want to get kids out of the attic, away from the Xbox, we go to the Mineshaft in Hartford. It's a staple with their huge $2 million game room, great pizza. Mom and Dad can sit at the bar. The kids can go to the big game room. We know that they're safe hanging out and having fun. Caller number, let's do 9 at 855-616-1620. Gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft and a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, features buy one, get one free pizza. Now, Tony Smith, if I'm a 14-year-old kid, and you're trying old to convince.
I know.
I have a 12-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Right, right.
The 16-year-old just started playing a little golf because his friend said, we're playing golf.
Right.
But he never wanted to get into the sport, even though I said, you know what? You need to caddy because your dad caddied and I learned a ton. He was just like, nah, that's not my thing. How do you get kids out on the course when they're a little reluctant?
Yeah, it's tough, and that's why I say the structure of Beyond Birdies is not, I'm not talking to the kid directly. It's a parent, it's an uncle, it's an older brother, somebody else who already golfs and like you wants to get the kid involved and say, hey, okay, let's check this out. But like you say, having friends and more importantly for the minority community, seeing representation, like they're going to turn on golf, they're not going to see many minorities playing, right? And your friends aren't playing. So you're like, what's the incentive? Okay, well, my dad plays. That's one way, right? So I talked to the dad. Hey, you want to bring your kid? You can't afford to get him in the junior program. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it for you. We'll take care of all that stuff. So it's almost like being at a country club without being at the country club.
Sure.
You can go ahead and join this junior program. But another thing I'm working on, but I'm terrible at social media. So anybody out there want to help me with my social media?
Don't right. look at me.
Right. So I'm trying to get something that they can relate to, right? Current athletes, let's just say. Steph Curry, huge golfer.
Yeah.
Ray Allen, guy I play with, huge golfer.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald, football player, golfer. Like, I just saw Sauce Gardner from the Jets, one of the top corners, young corners in the league. He's a golfer. So I want to try to relate some of the social media stuff. See, like, look, these guys are playing. Like, you're 14 right now. You're not thinking about golf,
right.
but you're going to be.
Yeah.
And you're going to be just like me. Just like we all said, we wish that earlier in our lives we had started golf.
To it. Right.
Right.
And even if it's just, all right, you get into your corporate career, you get in whatever path you choose. Once a summer, you get invited to an outing. You're going to be like, I want to take that opportunity. I'm too scared.
Right.
You know, at least I've had a couple lessons. I've had mentors along the way that I can feel safe and okay to play. And I'm going to learn and I'm going to meet some really good people.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you're a young person, like, and you see these former athletes and they're playing golf, it's because it's in your nature already, that competitive drive, the discipline it takes to play golf. You're going to be drawn to that later in life.
Sure.
You just are.
Yeah.
And it's better to get a base right now. So, you know, like I say, sometimes you can bring your friends along. It just depends. But golf, like I say, it's so difficult to get into. We're just trying to take that difficulty away. You don't have to worry about getting clubs. We're going to take care of all that for you. Just come on out and give it a try.
Yeah.
Even if you don't become a tour player or you don't become a college golfer, doesn't matter. You're in there trying it, and you'll have a base when you come back for life, like you say, business. Hey, do you play golf, or where do you play golf? Let's get out. You get to talk to clients day long. And
Steve and I are here to help you on social. We'll promote. We are here to help.
No, I need you to run the social. Come on.
All right.
Edit the video. Come on.
All right. So where can people get more information, Tony?
You know, just go check out our website right now. That's really where all the information is you need. And it's beyondbirdies.org. It's a great website done by a buddy of mine, so I really appreciate that help and all the help we can get. We're trying to get some initial funding because I just launched a website last week.
Okay,
so we're just trying to get funding to get things going. I have a couple of families already lined up, ready to go and start some lessons and get out there on the course and see how it goes. Right. So
we'll set a tee time.
Yeah,
the three of
go.
Us. Martin Moore will join us, and we'll talk strategy, and we are here to help because it's important to the recruitment and retention efforts of Greater Milwaukee. Tony, thanks for all you do. Thanks for joining.